Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and excited that you're here with us. It is Thursday, March 29th, 2007, 2 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave, frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. If you surf on over to our website at franklyspeakingradio.com, you'll see information about our guest this evening, links to both of his websites, and information on how to contact him and place orders for this incredible book we're discussing this evening. That would be Jesse James, United States Senator, by our guest, Ralph Epperson. Welcome, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm
Thank
here.
You. So you were mentioning about, in the course of all this, and again, Jesse James, United States Senator, just implies right there that he had, obviously assumed a false identity and gone on into politics, and that's exactly what you're talking about. You mentioned Clark County in Nevada named for William Andrews Clark, which is Jesse James's alias, and you went to the Clark County Museum to get information, and they told you what?
They told me that they didn't know much about the man.
Now, is this a one-room museum?
Yeah, it's not very big. And there's no showgirls either.
Tragic.
No leopards or lions or tigers, nothing. So I guess that's why people don't go. Anyway, so I said, I went to the manager finally came out, and I said, "Ma'am, do you have any pictures of Clark?" He said, "Well, I've got one." I said, "Okay, can I see it?" So we walked back into her office, and she reached into her drawer on her desk and pulled out a glossy, kind of beat up, and I said, "Would you be willing to make me a copy of that? I'm writing a book about Clark, and every picture I can find would be helpful." So she did. I said, "Now, do you want to know why you don't know anything about this man?" She said, "Yes, I'd love to hear." I said, "Please don't think I'm crazy, but I want you to know that there's a reason for it, that you don't know anything about him. I can't find out very little about this man, and yet he's got counties named after him. He was a United States Senator, which we'll cover in a minute. This was a major player in our past. No one knows anything about him." And I said, "Because he was Jesse James." She said, "What?" I said, that's what I expect you to say. But let's tell you that Jesse James lived to be 103 years of age and assumed the identity of the real William Andrews Clark in about 1863 or 4, something like that, and used the money from the Civil War to build a railroad. And that's why you got him, Clark County's name after this man. Well, she was stunned. I said, "Well, just keep in tune, because I'm going to have my book out very soon, and you can read it, and you'll know the truth about the county that you're named after."
Mm-hmm.
So then I bought a book. I said, "What's the best book you got on Clark County?" And it's called Clark County, History of Clark County, something like that. So I bought the book and brought it back to Tucson. There's not one picture of Clark in the book. So I called the man that wrote it. He was living mm-hmm. in Seattle, I think. In fact, there's only one little short paragraph. The book is entitled something about the history of Clark County or the West of Clark County, wherever it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the title. I said, "Why don't you have more information about William Andrews Clark?" He said, "Well, I can't find it."
Wow.
"So you want to know why?" He said, "Yes." I said, I told him the story. "Oh, I don't believe that." I said, "Okay, fine. It's fine. Then tell me more about William Andrews Clark." I said, "Let me ask you this. If William Andrews Clark was Jesse James, wouldn't you expect that you wouldn't know much about him?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, then figure it out and, help
sure.
him expose the truth."
Oh, I know. I mean, you just look at all the rich, people in the past, that are who they say they are. I mean, you've got buildings named after them. They've got foundations. They've got trusts. They've got museums. They've got everything. It's all about their wealth building monuments to themselves. And here's a guy who had, crazy amounts of money and nothing. Nothing is known even about him. Not even a whole lot of photographs exist. So it's an amazing thing.
Okay, now.
Actually, we're up to our first break of the hour here, my friend. I'm sorry. Folks, stay with us. We'll be back in 3 minutes with our guest, Ralph Epperson. We're talking about Jesse James and the integral and yet, unless you've read the book or talked with Ralph, unknown role that he's played in American history. We'll be taking your calls this hour, too, at 800-313-9443. Stay with us. We're right back after this.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest this evening, author, historian, researcher, and great friend to the show, and, of course, to me, Ralph Epperson. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Thank you.
Okay, now, we got Clark pretty well taken care of. Oh, let me tell you one more quick story about that.
Okay.
I live in Tucson, Arizona, and north of us, probably 200 miles away, is a town called Jerome, Arizona,
okay,
which is a former mining town. Now it's occupied by the people that make wind chimes and do artwork, mm-hmm. and grocery stores and gas stations and restaurants. But it's a nice little town. It's very fun to enjoy because it's still there. But the town is not 1800. It's more like 1900. But anyway, mm-hmm. It's a fun town to go visit, and you can go there and see where this town was. Anyway, Jerome, Arizona. The mine that sustained that city, and actually built the town of Jerome, is called United Verde Mine, and it was owned by William Andrews Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And Dalton claimed that he took $50 million worth of profit out of that mine alone.
Wow.
So that's a further connection to my state of Arizona. Clark was here, and Jesse James lived in our state, and mm-hmm. probably didn't live there, but he visited and worked in that mine and made a lot of money out of it.
Wow.
But where he really made his money was up in Butte, Montana, where he became a Montana Copper King. He and one other man, whose name right now escapes me, I can't think of what his name mm-hmm. is, but anyway, Clark was really a major player. And Clark was elected a senator from the state of Montana for one term, 1901 to 1907. That means that Jesse James, the famous outlaw, if I'm right, sat in the Senate of the United States for one term. Oh, I know where I was going with the Jerome story. There was a book written about the Jerome story by a bunch of authors, oh, probably six or seven, I don't remember. And the one that wrote about Clark was a woman, and I lived in Flagstaff, and I called her, and I said, "Man, Ray, I'm doing research on William Anders Clark myself, and I noticed that you wrote about him in this book about Jerome." I said, "What do you know about him?" She said, "Well, I'll tell you, I've had an interest in this man for probably, I would guess probably for 20 years, and I wrote my, I think she said her doctoral thesis on Clark."
Wow.
And, but she says, "I'm writing a new book on him right now, and I can't get any information. In fact, his daughter is still alive and lives in New York City. She's in her 80s, so that's possible, I guess." And so I said, "Okay," but she said she won't talk about him, and the relatives in Los Angeles don't want to talk about him. And I said, "Well, okay, you want to know why?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll tell you why. I believe I know." She said, "Yes." I said, "Are you sitting down?" She said, "Yes." I said, "The reason is because William Anders Clark was the alias of Jesse James, the famous outlaw." He said, "You know something? That it fits, because everywhere I go, no one wants to talk about William Anders Clark."
Wow. She actually believed you.
She believed me, yes.
That's fascinating.
Well, she does, it's not a question. You know, I don't know if she believed me. She said it certainly is possible,
yeah,
because she can't find anything out about him. And if it was Jesse James, then she would, Jesse doesn't want to talk about it. And
wow.
So, and by the way, the Clark family doesn't want to talk about it either. And I'll give you that story now as well.
Yeah.
This is really intriguing. I was on the phone. You know, I take phone orders for my books, and I answer the phone, and there's a guy ordering a copy of the book or discussing it, maybe a catalog I've forgotten. And so I'm writing his name down on the order form I have over the phone, and I got his name, and his last name was Clark, and he lived in someplace in Utah. And so after we got through getting the details, I said, "Would you mind, you got a couple of minutes?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Would you mind answering some questions?" He said, "No, go ahead." I said, "Do you know the name William Anders Clark in your family, Clark family?" He said, "Oh, yes." I said, "You know that name?" He said, "Yes. He's my great-great," and I don't remember how many times he said great. Let's just, from now on, we'll just say great-grandfather.
Hey, just out of curiosity, if you don't mind, what was he ordering this book?
No, I hadn't.
Oh.
This way before I finished it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, no, but I'll tell you how I know that he knows the Clark story. So I said, he said, "Yes." I said, "You're admitting that William Anders Clark was a family member?" He said, "Yes, he was a family member, and he was a senator." And he said, "Yes." And I said, "He was a copper miner." And he said, "Yes, railroad man." He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, we're talking about the same Clark."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Do you, is anyone in your family even hinted at or thought or whispered or said anything at all that William Anders Clark was Jesse James?" He said, "Oh, absolutely."
Really?
Yes. He said, "Oh, I thought perhaps you knew this story."
It doesn't ring a bell with me, no.
Okay, well, let me finish. It's really intriguing. This is the one of the great confirmations. So I said, "Wait a minute. Now, you're telling me that your family members know that William Anders Clark and Jesse James were the same man?" "Yes." I said, "Boy," I said, "would you want to talk about that?" He said, "No." I said, "That's the way you say." He said, "Our family, it's our family secret. We don't talk about it." And he said, "I'm a maverick in my family." I said, "Well, are there any, you live in Utah, are you a Mormon?" He said, "No." But I said, "Do you have any, you know, the Mormons are anywhere else in your family Mormon?" He said, "Yes, I'm the only one that's not. But my mother's sister is the family genealogist." And I said, "Would she talk to me?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm telling you, Ralph, they don't want to talk about this." So I said, "Okay." So we talked again maybe a little while later, a week or so later, wherever it was. And during the conversation, I heard a shriek behind him. It was, you know, maybe in the same room or maybe the next room over.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know." So I said, he laid the phone down and walked in the other. I heard him walk away, and he came back. And I said, "What was that?" He said, "It's my wife." I said, "Is she okay?" He said, "Yes, she's fine." I said, "What was that all about?" He said, "Well, let me tell you." He said, "My wife was looking at a book about Jesse James, and she stumbled across a picture of Zerelda Cole James, the mother that everybody recognizes as being Jesse's mother. And she saw that picture and said, 'Wait a minute, that's the same woman that in the Clark family we call Grandma Clark, the mother of William Andrews Clark.'" And I said, wait a minute. Wait, slow down. I said, there's a way we can confirm this because, you know, pictures made in the 1880s could look a lot like each other, but it doesn't mean a thing. But I said, so let's, Kenny. He said, okay. I said, Zerelda James was living with Dr. Samuel in their house in Kearney, and the Pinkerton Detective Agency threw a bomb into the window of the house to scare the James brothers out so they could arrest them and, you know, haul them away. Well, the bomb, it was not a smoke bomb, as people claim. It was an actual explosives bomb. And in my book, I talk about that the evidence that it was intended to not only smoke them out but burn the house down. And Pinkerton wrote that. He put it in writing. So anyway, it didn't work. She took a broom and brushed it into the chimney, and it exploded back into the room because the chimney couldn't contain it, and it blew off her right arm. Now, it's not very pleasant, but she has a stub from the elbow, probably 3 inches, and then it ends. There's no right arm. From that point on, no wrist, no fingers, nothing. So Zerelda James, all the pictures of her from that day forward show her with no right arm. She's always sitting there or hiding in some way with a napkin or a you know, she's wearing black or whatever it is. She's got a black napkin over her, over her right arm. And the bomb also killed her young son, Jesse's half-brother, named Archie Samuels, not James, because he was a half-brother under Dr. Samuel and Zerelda. So it killed him. He was like, I think, 10 or 11, something like that. So I said to the Clark boy, I said, now, wait a minute. Do you have any story like that with Grandma Clark? So, yes. Grandma Clark lost her right arm and a son in an accident around 1900. And I said, now, wait a minute. That's really cutting it close, because William, Grandma Clark and Zerelda both lost a son in an accident that also cost them their right arm, and they both look alike. And they're both married or, you know, related to Jesse James Clark, and you've admitted that your family calls him. I said, I think we got a match here, and he said, yes. So that, to me, is one of the great evidences that I'm right, that Clark and James were, and Dalt were all the same individual.
That's amazing. Have you talked to this man since this book has come out?
I'm going to tell you a tragic story, Frank. When I called him, I was not going to write the book, and I've misplaced his phone number. And I'm telling you, if you are that Clark, or you know this Clark, I think he lives in Utah. Have him call me back. I need to talk to him. We need to get more information. But he told me the family will not talk about it. They had a family reunion someplace, and I said, well, bring him. Can I come? She said, no. You'd not be welcome. They don't want to talk about this. This is our family secret. So I don't know what good he can do. He might be able to fill in some gaps, maybe even give me a picture. But if you know that Clark, or you're him, please call me. Let's talk.
That's amazing.
So now, Clark, when he got to Montana, became a multimillionaire, and he owned a bank, and so he was involved with the banking industry. He was a senator. He poisoned John Wilkes Booth, a Clark County named after him. And in 1925, because of the Teapot Dome scandal, which was an attempt to remove Warren G. Harding from office, a scandal with the oil industry, Clark, who was involved with that, decided that he didn't want the media asking questions about the former senator, so he decided to kill Clark off. And in 1925, I went to the New York Times. He was living in New York at the time. There's a huge, big article, front page article. William Ennis Clark dies at 80-something years old from pneumonia, and that was the end of that story. The Clark is now dead, but J. Frank Dalton lived from 1925. 1951, another 26 years.
Wow, that is spectacular. Ralph, I'd like to take some calls, and of course I'd like to ask some of my own questions as well.
Sure.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Our phone number, of course, 800-313-9443. Get your calls in while you can. We got a good 35 minutes by the time we come back.
I
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky, the ozone layer unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, friends and foes. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Will, and our special guest this evening is Ralph Epperson. The website for the book, which I encourage you all to check out, is www.senatorjessejames.com, linked up through our website at franklyspeakingradio.com. And the phone number this evening, if you'd like to get in the queue, and the calls are lining up quickly, 800-313-9443, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Ralph Epperson, welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. By the way, Frank, if you got the book in front of you, see if you can find that quote from Mark Twain about meeting Jesse James.
I will do that as we speak.
Later on in a few minutes, maybe you can read it.
Sure.
It's kind of interesting.
Absolutely. Hey, also, did you get the email I sent, and did it work?
Yes. No, but the lady wrote to me, and I now have the I got a synopsis. I'm not finished yet, but we can talk.
That's very exciting. Now, at some point, you're going to post that stuff on your website.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know. We'll see what happens.
Well, give people a reason to keep checking it out, because it's these pictures are stunning, and they definitely need to be somewhere. And if you're not going to write a sequel to the book, which, hey, I think you should, then maybe that's another option.
Okay.
All right, well, let's go to the calls. Robert in Arizona, welcome to the program.
Hello, Frank. Hi,
Hello,
Frank.
Sir. How are you?
Real good. Ralph, I may have some information for you. We're going to have lunch.
Wonderful.
Okay. Where do you live?
Tucson.
You live in Tucson?
Yeah, we've met.
We've met and talked. Okay, good. We'll keep the door open then. Let's get back together.
Okay. A couple questions I want to ask you about. One is, have it occurred to you that there was a fellow that wrote a fictional book about the OKC bombing, and he claimed to be a member of a certain group? Do you remember what the name of that group was?
No. You're talking about the brother of the governor? The mayor?
Yes. Keating?
Yes.
Governor Keating's brother wrote a book, and it talked about a guy. I think the book was published a couple years before the OKC bombing.
Yeah.
And I believe that the character, the main character that was responsible, allegedly, for pulling it off was a guy named Tom McVeigh.
Yeah, something like that, or McVeigh, yes, McVeigh, I think it was, right, yes.
Very, very close spelling of the name.
Yes.
And he belonged to a group and dedicated the book to, I believe it was something around that sounded awfully close to the Knights of the Golden Circle, if it wasn't that.
Okay, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Neither did I.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything in and of itself. But coincidences, as we know, are running rampant tonight.
Yes.
And I also know some Clarks.
Get back in touch, Robert. Let's talk.
We will.
Wow. Fantastic.
Okay. Thanks very much.
And, one other thing.
Please.
Do you realize the panic of 07 that caused the excuse that eventually got Aldrich to pass that bill creating the Federal Reserve? Do you remember the percentage of the banks that failed at that time?
No.
It was only 2.8% of the banks failed that gave them the excuse to pass that legislation.
Okay.
Wow.
Had that happened today, that only 2.8% of the financial banks had folded, we wouldn't even feel it. I mean, that's nothing compared to the S&L scandals, the collapses, and other bank mergers since then. 2.8% would have been a sneeze. The American economy would have absorbed that kind of loss in 6 months and would have just plowed straight on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Good night, guys.
Thank you so much.
Back in touch. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. At this point, Ralph, we should probably give out your 800 number. People can contact you, obviously not after the show, but maybe tomorrow.
Yes, fine. If people want to contact me, call me. I'll be happy to pay for it. It's an 8 toll-free number. If you have long distance, it's unlimited long distance, you call me. But if you want to call my 800 number, because you don't have it, I'll pay for it. 800-422-3888. You call me and let's talk.
Fantastic stuff. They can also, of course, place orders at that number as well. And on your website, SenatorJesseJames.com, there's also a phone number there with an Arizona exchange. People can call you there as well.
That's correct.
Let's go to Vince in Montana. Vince, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ralph. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
The name you were fishing for was Marcus Daly.
Yes, thank you very much. That's correct.
And,
I could remember his name.
Wow.
Have you ever been to Butte and done any research in Butte on William Andrews Clark?
No, I know. I've never done it, no.
Well, you're really missing out on one of the real wealths of historical research. Butte was the biggest city in the western United States between Seattle and St. Louis at one time.
Okay.
It was over 100,000 people. The beds never got cold in Butte, Montana. But Marcus Daly was William Andrews Clark's great rival. He was from Ireland. And if you go to Butte, there are just literally rooms full of information on Marcus Daly. And there's some information on William Clark.
Let me jump in here quickly, gentlemen. I'm sorry. Another quick commercial break, folks, but we're back in only 3 minutes. Stay there. More Frankly Speaking Radio on the way.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Good morning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. About 25 minutes left in the program. Our special guest this evening, Ralph Epperson. Check out the website, www.senatorjessejames.com, for more information. Ralph, welcome back.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Wonderful. And Vince in Montana, please continue, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, if you were going to write a sequel or do some more research, the real history of William Clark will be in Butte, Montana. That's where he really made his fortune. And no one knew more about William Clark than his great rival, Marcus Daly. I mean, here's the guy that ran against the Senate. These guys were blood rivals. I mean, they broke each other and made each other several times over, and they constantly stole each other's vines, and it's a real interesting history. But I'm sure that you could find out whatever there was to be found either through the museums up there or through the descendants of Marcus Daly,
okay,
if the Clarks won't talk to you.
No.
Because Marcus Daly would have known any dirt about William Clark.
Ah. Very interesting, Vince. That's fantastic.
So that'd be a, Anyway, I'm going to call you tomorrow, order a couple of books, and I'll talk to you further.
You bet. Keep in touch. Thanks very much for your advice.
That's fantastic. Right. You see, Ralph, this is why you do the show.
That's exactly right,
Frank. That is exactly right. Let's go to Floyd in Oklahoma. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
This is Floyd here in Oklahoma City.
And how are you, sir?
I was listening to the program this evening with great interest.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother's name was Callie Cass Clark Osborne Ross.
Wow.
Okay, now, she was born in the mid-1800s and passed away in the 1960s. And I was wondering, is it possible that she... well, I'm sure it's possible, but she was married to a Clark. Now, this Clark that she was married to, you know, prior to my being around, it was discussed within the family, but it was always clandestinely discussed.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of curious if there would have been any relationship there to this Clark that you are discussing tonight. She lived in Colorado and lived her most of her life in Colorado.
Yeah. Well, there was a connection to the Clark. William Andrews Clark allegedly, in about 1863, moved to Colorado. I've forgotten the name of the city. It's in my book someplace.
Lahaina.
And got involved with the copper at the gold mine, and that's where he basically disappears for a while. He surfaced later in Montana, Butte, Montana, but I don't know much about what happened between the 1860s when he allegedly went to Colorado and when he went to Montana. He might very well be a relation to this woman, maybe a daughter, granddaughter, or something. I don't know. Huh, interesting.
That's okay, but that is what spurred my interest.
Wow.
Call me, write that 800 number down and call me. Let's talk. Maybe we got something. We can find out.
Okay, well, I'll certainly do that.
Good. Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir.
And you'll be selling a couple of books.
You're very kind. Thanks very much.
You betcha.
Wonderful. Ralph, go ahead, sir.
Well, it's okay. I just was going to comment. The Clark family doesn't want to talk about this, but we need to get Clarks or people who are related or connected to a Clark, like this fellow.
Yeah.
There might well be a connection, and maybe he's willing to talk and got pictures and who knows what. Let's talk.
That's so fantastic. Well, this is what we need to do, folks. We got to get you guys out there. You know, you are the eyes and ears on scene. I mean, Ralph is in Arizona. I'm in Arkansas. The network's in Texas. You know, we've got opportunity here. And Ralph, I'll be honest with you, my friend. I would love it if people were constantly giving you information and you were constantly cranking out books. Now, I know that you've got a vast assortment of books already that you've written and things you've put out, and it's incredible. But, you know, hey, you're a young man. How old are you again? You said 40?
Yeah, right. I'm 40, right.
See,
yeah.
You've got a long writing career ahead of you, and we got to keep these books coming. Let's go to Nicholas in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, sir. Yes, welcome.
Say, I remember when I was a kid there, around 10 years old, back in around 53, they had a live TV show. You know, they had the live TV shows back then. It was based on that interview of 48 with Jesse James.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, they did.
Wow.
I don't know if you can get an archive or not.
Please slow down. Let's go slow. You said you watched this on TV, was it?
Yes, I did, back around 53.
Wow.
It was in 1953. It was about...
I'm not sure if that was the right year or not.
Plus or minus.
52 to 54, maybe.
Yeah. But you watched it on television and...
Yes, I did. It was on TV based on that.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's definitely worth checking out.
Do you remember any more about where it might have been?
No, I don't even know what station it was. Which one? One of the three main stations.
There was no cable then, so it had to
right.
be on one of the major...
ABC, NBC, CBS.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. What were your impressions of that? Did it seem... I mean, obviously, you said you were 10, so
maybe
you were, like, putting on some cartoons, but...
Yeah, I just see Cowboys there in the, you know, Lower Ranger in 49. We had a TV in the Frontier Playhouse. I was in... Well, what was really interesting about that... Jesse James there.
Yeah, well.
But about Marcus Dairy, too. There's a Marcus Dairy, I think, a restaurant up in Connecticut where a lot of motorcyclists gather a few times a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
Wow. Oh, that's really interesting.
You might have some information on that.
Okay. All right. Anybody still there? Okay.
The fellow's name was Marcus Daly, not Terry, if that means anything. Marcus Daly and William Anders Clark were indeed copper barons, both of them, very wealthy, very powerful, and apparently angry at each other. They had a feud all the time.
You're going to be a busy man on the phones tomorrow.
Well, let's hope so. I'd love to talk.
Nicholas, thank you for the call. Let's go to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian.
How are you, sir?
And hey, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Yeah, the last time we talked, you was on Butch Paws. That's been quite a while back.
Okay.
What's the relationship of the James family with the Bush, the Gores, and the Clintons, and the Cheneys?
All right.
I don't know if there is any.
Yeah. That is interesting.
I love the joke that I think Jesse must have about 100 relatives in the Senate, and there was 100 senators, so he's got about 30 or 40 relatives in the Senate today.
It would seem that way.
I'm sure he doesn't. It's just a joke.
Well, you know, I mean, you think how many lives has he lived? He lived to be over 100 years old. I mean, he obviously was changing his name and traveling around a lot, so he probably has a lot of, demon seed out there. So.
Do we have a caller coming in?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the phone lines. We'll figure it out. But
if not, I got another story.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to start, and then if we get a call, let's see, we'll interrupt it because your callers have got more information. I want to point out to you that I believe Jesse James arranged for the murder of General George Custer. Huh? What? Wait. Did I hear you right, Ralph?
Well, you need to put one of those personalities back. I'll ask the question. Huh, Ralph, did I hear you right?
That's your job as interviewer.
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Repeat after me, Frank. I don't believe that, Ralph. Tell me why.
Tell me why, Ralph.
Okay, let me tell you. Here's Dalton claimed that the day of the Battle of Little Bighorn, he, as Jesse James, was up in the Battle of Little Bighorn handing out repeating rifles to the Indians. And I said, now, wait a minute, why would he want to kill General George Custer? And I started looking, and he went on to point out, Dalton did, that Custer wanted to run for the presidency. And I said, bingo. In other words, Custer was, I better hold up. I was going to say, I think he's a Mason. I'm not sure. Okay, I think he was a Mason, but let's ignore that. That's not the reason. It's significant. If Custer was well-known and flamboyant and very aggressive, he could very well have become president of the United States because he was well-known and gone and kind of a little offbeat and had apparently a great personality and was able to lead troops and everything else. So I said, wait a minute, then if he wanted to run for the presidency and the conspiracy that runs America didn't want him to be president, then they better take him out. So how would you do that? I said, one way to do it would be to go to him and say, listen, Jesse probably went with him to talk to him and said, listen, General Custer, we know you've got a great interest in the presidency, and I can assure you that we're very anxious to have you become president, but to make you better known in America, you need a major Indian victory. So why don't you do this? There's a small group of Indians at the Battle of Little Bighorn. Go down there, clean them up, and then take your troops and ride back to Washington, D.C., or show up in Washington, D.C., and you'll be hailed as a great Indian fighter, a great hero for America, and they'll elect you president. So James went up into the hills and made sure they had repeating rifles. Now, if I'm right, and that's what it's theory, Custer went down there expecting a small little group, and he ran into like 2,000 Indians. I don't know how many there were. Now, I know this. According to the research I've done so far, a repeating rifle can get off, one round every second? Let's just say that. I don't know how much it is, but it's pretty fast. But Custer's 286 men only had six shooters and or the Springfield single-shot rifle. Now, I watched a movie the other day about Custer, and Custer's standing with his six-shooter firing at the Indians, and they're being surrounded, and they're shooting and everything else. So he's standing there, and there's a soldier on one knee and one bent knee, and he's got a rifle, and he's firing, and he fires one shot, and then cradles the rifle in his lap, kind of, and opens up the breech, pulls out the cartridge that's in there, reaches into his pocket, pulls out another cartridge, and slips it into the chamber, then reseats the cover, and then raises the rifle and gets it off a second shot. Now, I would guess that took 5 seconds. Let's just say 5 seconds. So in 5 seconds, the Indians can get off 5 rounds, and he's got two rounds, or
wow.
One. And no wonder they lost. Well, first of all, I don't know how many people. Custer lost 260, and I've read that there's only he only got killed about 60 Indians, so I don't know how many there were. But wherever they, most of them had repeating, or some of them at least had repeating rifles given to them by if Dalton's telling the truth, by Jesse James. Now, the next question is, well, why would they not want Custer to be president? So I went looking, and I found out that there was a president elected in 1872 for the first term, and he only served one term. He got out in 1877, or where it was, and his name was Rutherford B. Hayes. So I've done a little bit of research, not much, to look into his background. And in the little booklet I got on him, Rutherford B. Hayes promised to redeem the Species Redemption Act. Now, what's that? That was, I believe, an attempt to redeem the worthless greenback dollar in gold. Well, who would want such a thing? Well, guess who? The bankers. So apparently
wow.
Custer didn't make that commitment. So Rutherford B. Hayes did, and they wanted Custer out of the picture. So he was gone.
Wow, that's amazing, man.
That's all that it is. That's a lot of conjecture. I don't argue. I'm carefully saying that. I can't prove it completely, but I'm telling you, there's reason to keep looking because if that story's true. Custer wanted to be president, and they didn't want him to be president.
That's just stunning. You know, there's so much to all this, Ralph. You know, one of the things that you mentioned was Pinkerton.
Yes.
Of course, he was he started the Pinkerton Detective Agency, which is where the term Private Eye comes from, which is based on their logo, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes.
It's a big eye, and it says, "We never sleep" under the logo. If you look at it, folks, you'll see. It's not just the eyeball, it's not just the iris, it's the eye. You can see the textures of it, and it has the eyebrow. And, Ralph, it looks astonishingly similar to the eye on the back of the $1 bill.
You know, Frank, I'll be honest with you, I've never noticed that.
Really?
I do have some copies of the logo, and I'm going to find it and take a look. I'm sorry, I never thought about Private Eye.
Yeah.
But I know this, Pinkerton. There's a picture of Pinkerton standing with Abraham Lincoln, and they're in with several officers. It looks like a tent, so apparently they're on the field someplace with the generals, and they're talking. And I gather that Pinkerton was guarding President Lincoln, and Lincoln's standing there, and they're facing each other. Pinkerton's got his arm up and giving the sign that he was at least a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle, but he's got it actually over where he's giving a sign that he's been born again to Lucifer, meaning he's an initiate.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that very interesting because if he was a Mason, and I can't find the direct evidence that he was, except this picture, if he was a Mason, he took a vow to protect Jesse James and Frank James as well. And for 16 years, he never caught Frank and Jesse James.
Yep.
Well, if he was a Mason, he wasn't supposed to catch.
That's exactly right. So in what looks like a failure is actually a stunning success.
Yes, exactly. He did a great job of making sure they didn't catch Jesse and Frank.
I did find those quotes, by the way, from Mark Twain. Would you like me to?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. It says page 219 of your book. It says, this view was shared by Mark Twain, and it's the view, of course, that you refer to by one Robert A. Pinkerton in the book entitled The Assassination of Jesse James. But Mark Twain had this to say as he after a meeting he had had with Senator Clark on January 28, 1907. Twain wrote this in his book, Mark Twain Interruption. And it says, This is Mark Twain quoting himself. I am a person of elevated tone and of morals and that can bear scrutiny and am much above associating with animals of Clark's breed. He is as rotten a human being as can be found anywhere under the flag. He is a shame to the nation, and no one has helped to send him to the Senate who did not know that his proper place was the penitentiary with a chain and ball on his legs. To my mind, he is the most disgusting creature that the Republic has produced since Tweed's time. And Tweed, of course, would be...
Boss Tweed.
Boss Tweed.
Yeah,
okay.
Some sort of politician who kept his, apparently kept his hand in the taxpayer's pocket.
Oh, okay. And then here, this is interesting, too. This is another quote from Mark Twain from the book, Mark Twain and I. It says, quote, some time ago I was making a purchase in a small town store in Missouri. A man walked in and seeing me came over with outstretched hand and said, you're Mark Twain, ain't you? I nodded. Guess you are. Guess you and I are about the greatest in our line, he remarked. What is your name, I inquired. Jesse James.
Yeah. Well, I point out that I don't know that Mark Twain knew that Jesse was Clark, but because he met one man as Jesse and one man as Clark.
Yeah.
But I do know that Mark Twain was a Mason, and so he might very well have met Jesse and Clark as a Mason as well.
Just a second, Ralph. We'll be right back, folks.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and we are looking at really an astonishing and endlessly captivating story, and that is about Jesse James from the book Jesse James, United States Senator, written by our guest this evening and a great friend. That would be Ralph Epperson. Ralph, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Yes.
Thank you so much. You know, I live here, as most people know, in Northwest Arkansas. I love to be outside, which is going to be almost contradicted in my next statement. What I was going to say is that I love to be outside, but I also love to do things. And we'll go around here. There's a lot of caves here in Arkansas and in Missouri. And, Ralph, there are many caves where they have claimed that Jesse James used these caves as hideouts. And I've been to these places, and there's many of them, quite a few, in fact. So it is interesting. And his legacy, at least the publicly known legacy, is alive and well and continues to captivate people all over the country, certainly here in the South and in the Midwest area. It's really an amazing story, and your take on it is unbelievable. I mean, this book is just like everything you write. It's just phenomenal. I mean, really.
Thank you very much, Frank. I will say this. I've read it several times since I wrote it a couple of years ago, and I have to admit, I believe it's a well-written book. It's interesting, and it's easy to read, and you can't put it down. Everybody that picks it up that I know of can't put it down.
It's the truth.
Another revelation after another.
That is the truth, my friend. Well, I want to give out your contact info, and then I want to throw out another question or two at you if we have time. Your phone number, of course, people can contact you tomorrow. They can place orders here. They can give you information. They can ask questions, whatever the case may be. You're very, very generous with your time. That phone number, folks, 800-422-3888. Again, 800-422-3888. That number is posted on our website at franklyspeakingradio.com. There are also links to Ralph's website that we've given out many times, which is www.ralph-epperson, EPPERSON.com. And also a link to the one that is specifically about this book, and that is, of course, www.senatorjessejames.com. Links to both of those.
And there's no spaces. It's one word.
Yes.
Senator Jesse, right. Thank you.
It sure is. And you got to get the W's in there because I couldn't open it otherwise. But
okay.
That's immaterial. Hey, so you mentioned in the course of the Knights of the Golden Circle and the secret societies, and they're plotting to institute a second civil war. You mentioned that there was some gold buried around. Do we have any estimates on how much?
Yeah, according to Dalton, it was like $7 billion back in 1950, and who knows what it's worth today.
$7 billion in 1950.
Yeah.
Well, to give you an example, we had a good friend of ours, Jeff Bennett, on the program just a couple weeks ago. He said that the price of an ounce of gold in 2002 was $250 an ounce. It, as we said, just touched 666 as of today.
Yeah.
So, you know, just look at that price increase in the last 5 years.
Yes, I know.
So $7 billion in 1950, that'd be a lot. Now, how much of that is still around? I mean, I'm sure
one knows, Frank, that I know of. I've got friends of mine who are looking for it, and to my knowledge, they've not found any of it yet, which means it might already be emptied out. I don't know. As well as you don't want to talk about it over the phone because you know who's listening, so you just get general, generic information.
Absolutely, because $7 billion in gold in 1950, well, $7 billion today is a substantial amount of money, and the powers that be would love to get their hands on that
one. You betcha.
Wow. Well, Ralph, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is as far as the bodies of Dalton and others who perhaps had some connection here. Has there been any furtherance into... run out of time. I wanted to ask you about the exhumation, I guess.
We're working on that, Frank. I'll keep you posted.
See, there is a sequel in there somewhere. Ralph, God bless you, my friend, and all that you do. You keep doing it, and you always have all the support I can possibly generate here in this end.
Well, God bless you, Frank. You're very kind. Thanks very much for your 2 or 3 hours, and thank your listeners.
Hey, thank you, sir. Folks, have a spectacular day. God bless. We'll see you in 20 hours.
You got hit.